How would you like to make your wife fall in love with your body again? If you are someone who is over 40, or you don't even have to be, if you're someone who's currently dissatisfied with your body, but really happy with your performance in the boardroom, this is particularly for you. And Harry Baldwin will tell us how to achieve this amazing result. And I'm sure most men around the world want to have the Iron Man body, or at least to look in the mirror and feel proud with themselves. And this is the goal today. So Harry Baldwin is a former military trainer who coaches CEOs and elite performers. And in 2024, he became the UK pull-up and dip champion while running his coaching business full-time. And he believes physical capability is a strategic advantage because it leads to shaping confidence, decision-making, and authority. So Harry, tell us about how can entrepreneurs and men worldwide make their wives and their girlfriends fall in love with their body again.
Fuel Podcast with Lily Petrescu shares longevity and anti-aging techniques to stay young forever, increase energy, overcome addiction, and live your longest, best life ever, shared by world's most innovative alternative and traditional health thought leaders, healers, and doctors. Discover quantum healing strategies to heal your mind, body, and soul.
Sure. So I think this is something a lot of people run into when they are running companies, teams, businesses. It's easy for the business to take the limelight, right? And then what goes on the back burner? Sometimes it's the relationship itself, and often it's the body. And this is where a lot of my clients find themselves, and a lot of people running businesses. So the solution really is to see a bigger balance between those three things: the business, your body, and your relationships. And if you can find the balance and drive all of those forward at the same time, then the body becomes possible. But if all your eggs are just into the business and you've let that go, you need a system to come in to sort that out so that you can get moving again and keep a high standard.
Thank you. Is it even possible for an executive or an entrepreneur that is running, let's say, 10 businesses to have the time to create that kind of amazing body they're proud of?
Yes, because a lot of these people are in a position where they understand time very well. They understand the leveraging time, right? Which means that they can organize their structure in a way that serves them so that they can keep performing well, because that comes in mentally as well as physically. But they can actually structure their week and have influence over that more than, say, someone in a 9-to-5, or if they're working longer hours. You can actually choose to, hey, this is a priority for me at this point in time. I need to sort my body out, and I'm going to put that in. It's as important as a doctor's appointment. And if it can become that non-negotiable, then you can plug in a system to start to make the improvements that you're seeking.
Thank you. How would an executive or not a very busy entrepreneur start to put things in place so that they can go from someone who is perhaps obese, who is someone who is perhaps not managing so well their diet, who is not exercising at all, who is just like jumping into their fancy car and going to their boardroom meeting and not doing much else in terms of movement?
Yeah, okay. So start simply. You can get amazing results just with twice a week. So if you can get consistency with twice a week, already you're going to have enough recovery in that. The training will take care of itself. It just needs to be a solid program and fit in to their life. There's no point in doing 60-day everyday challenge that's not going to be sustainable. It needs to give them a chance to be consistent, and you can build from that. And the same with nutrition. Frameworks are so useful depending on when you need to work, depending on when you need your brain fueled well, and also when you have energy dips or crashes. How can we plug those and actually get your performance better at work as well? And if you can get both nutrition and training, which everyone eats already, right? Everyone eats a couple times a day, 3 times a day. So it's the same thing. It's just about making the right swaps and using a framework that can, it doesn't take any more time, but it can serve you a lot better. Yeah.
Thank you. Now, tell me, how would someone who is obese, who has like a really large tummy, who doesn't move very easily, how would they start to implement those tiny steps that can make a massive difference over the long run? For example, for me, I'm a very sporty person, okay? And for me, it would be kind of very easy if I really wanted to kind of like lose weight, okay?
Like, it's there.
Right. But I think for some people, it's like a lot of people are just not sporty. A lot of people are literally just get into their car and then they have meetings all day. And then let's say they have meeting after meeting and then they're eating late. And I think one of the worst things is actually eating late because let's say maybe they don't even get to eat before 4 o'clock and then they start their breakfast at four and then they eat their dinner at 8:30 with a client and they eat again at midnight. So like the entire lifestyle is wrong. How would someone who has an entrenched regime in terms of like what they do in terms of their meals and their no exercise plan, how would they start to have those tiny steps to make a massive difference for someone who is like not sporty at all and not, you know, with a really poor diet as well?
Well, I think the hard part of that is fully being able to see it, because it happens slowly over time. You're gaining 5 pounds per year. That moment of, and I've been there, where I'm looking in the mirror like, no, I need to sort this out. And just having that reflection, then it can, you can turn and you can get after whatever you want. But it does take that kickstart, that realization. So you need that. You need that driving you to start with. You need to see the benefits and value in it. And then you may recognize that, like you're saying with your meals, it's chaos, essentially. So there needs to be some form of structure coming in and micro improvements. We can't just be perfect the next day and wake up, all the routines go perfectly, everything's great. It does take tiny steps. But a structure makes a world of difference. Even after 1 week, plugging in a new structure, now you'll start to have a rhythm with your routines, and you'll feel the benefits of it as well.
Thank you. So my ex-boyfriend, he had a really terrible diet, okay, and a really terrible plan, exactly like the one I described. And when I met him, which was 14 years ago, I was 58 kilos. I'm not sure if you understand kilos. I'm not sure how much that is in pounds. And now I'm 85 kilos, which makes me technically obese for my height and so on. And I gradually kind of started taking his routine. So like he was having his breakfast at four and then his dinner at 8:30 and his, other dinner at midnight or after. And kind of gradually, like my entire body just, flipped in terms of like, gaining a lot of weight and being a little bit heavier. Although I am still very sporty and I can walk 20 kilometers in one day, no problem. But the weight is really there. So I'm wondering, like, give us some example of three programs that you put in place for executives where they started to put small things in place that gradually made a tiny difference. And tell us about like what kind of things they start to put in place.
So what you're talking about, you don't eat until 4 p.m. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. So you're fasting in the mornings, and you
Yes.
may find have a lot of focus. Fasting is one of the things that can work very, very well, because you can get a lot of your high quality work done before that time, and you're not having to think about food. So already there's a restriction in terms of the feeding window. If the feeding window outweighs the fasted window, then you're always consuming calories. So now you have more chance to over consume. So if we can shorten that, that's the first thing to look at. And it can be very effective. And then we just need to control what's inside that. The first thing to look at next is quality foods. If you can have high quality whole foods, a lot of people don't have time to cook themselves as well. So it's either prepare that yourself or know what to choose when you're out at a meeting. That can be massive. And just by having the intention, I'm going to pick the best thing for my body on this menu, can make a world of difference, because you know what you're looking for. It's not how you feel, what you feel like you need in the moment. You're actually going, okay, this is the best thing for my body. I'm going to choose that. And it makes that choice easier. So now you've got some autonomy there, wherever you are. So that should be really useful for anyone listening as well. And then barely anyone, without looking into it, is eating enough protein. And protein is very filling, and it also supplies your muscles. It's the building blocks for your muscles. So if you combine exercise with higher protein, now you're more satiated, you're fuller for longer, and you're repairing all the systems of the body.
Thank you. What about for people that see clients, like I said earlier, and let's say they see clients from 4 o'clock until, let's say, 9, 10 p.m. and they feel compelled to actually eat with them.
Yeah, that's no problem. Like I said, that menu, just having that lens to pick the healthiest thing on the menu, the best thing you can put in your body, is the way to do it. There's no reason why you can't eat out, for example. If you can, if you want a framework for this, think about your plate in thirds. You've got a third protein, a third carbs, and a third veg. If you can fit a meal into that framework, it doesn't have to be straight cut like that, but you get the idea. If it's a steak, some vegetables, potatoes, that's going to be amazing for you, and it's going to supply your body the best.
Thank you. What about people, like, for example, for me, because I'm in a country at the moment where it's Ramadan, and people just kind of normally eat from 5:30 and so on onwards. And I don't have to eat three meals a day, like one meal a day is enough for me, right? But what about people who feel compelled to eat three meals a day? What can they do to be able to manage their...
Sure. It's all about portion control. So you can get an amazing body with two meals a day, or four meals, or five meals, as long as you're controlling those portions and the food quality is there. So it is really simple. It is those two things. However, when you're out and about with meetings, you're with lots of other people, there's social pressure, everyone's getting a pudding, that's where the discipline might have to come in. And if you're in a phase of where you're cutting back on your fat percentage, then you have to make that choice. You have to strengthen your no for that chapter. And that's fine. It's not forever. You can obviously introduce more balance, but every day letting that creep in and not putting a constraint on it won't help your journey at all. So I think strengthening the no is something that can be really important, and the other people should support that if they've got that growth mindset as well.
Thank you. What's the best way to put in place so that you make sure you do eat enough protein?
Yeah, that really comes down to it does help if you can eat meat. If not, you need quite high knowledge of the food sources going in. If you're vegan, then you may need to work with a specialist to ensure you're actually getting the full nutrient profile. If you can look at your plate and there's 30 grams of protein on your plate, you're doing well, because that's going to lead to at least 100 grams a day, which I would say is minimum for the average person. So it's looking at it meal by meal, on a meal by meal basis, will really help. And you can eyeball that, or you can take a picture of it and plug it into ChatGPT. If there is a fist sized portion of chicken on your plate or beef, you are going to be hitting a decent amount of protein.
Thank you. What happens if a man doesn't eat enough protein, for example? Will he lose muscle, or what else will happen?
Yes, as we age, as soon as you go past 30, your muscle mass will start to deplete, as well as the tendon strength and hormones as well. So it's really important we do have that strength training in to ensure that we're driving it in that way. And that's actually an adaptation itself. Your body is adapting and preserving energy. If you don't train, why does it need the muscle? So by training, we promote that to go the other way. We're strengthening the joints, the hormones, the muscles, and that's the best way to do it. Well, there's no other way. So you're changing the direction of the adaptation. Yeah.
Thank you. What kind of exercises should someone start doing if let's say they have a droopy back and a droopy tummy, let's say, as an executive?
Sure. So you really do have to pair it with the nutrition. You cannot outrun your diet. And I've seen this in the army. There was people gaining weight and we were training 4 brutal sessions a week. A lot of people think that they need to do excessive cardio and lots of HIIT training, but without that diet control, that's really how you're going to start to reduce that body fat. And long term, you want to be strength training, you want to be muscle building to make that adaptation. Like I said, you want to be building your muscles, and your muscles are a storage site for carbohydrates, for energy. The more muscle you have, the more you can eat.
Thank you. How can someone get into a really good habit? Because I understood that if you do something for 21 days, and I'm not sure if it's even enough to do it for 21 days, you will kind of retain that kind of habit, and then you have to repeat it for three more sessions of 21 days.
Yeah. So consistency is a massive need with this. So it's very important that you do set a time frame, and I recommend giving yourself 6 months. So rather than seeing it as a 21 rush, do as much as we can, give yourself 6 months, because what you can achieve in that time is far superior to a short time frame, and the habits can be built alongside that. So you need to be hitting the protein. You need to be hitting the strength sessions. Training is the driving force. And over time, you'll stack better and better habits. But if we tried to change, for instance, your water intake, your sleep, how you're getting to sleep, your quality of sleep, what's on your plate, how you're eating, when you're eating, your self-talk, your self-perception, your training, how you're moving, that's a lot to do in 1 week, and hard to... you could feel jumbled with those habits. So it's really important that you start with the basics and work from there. The habits will start to feed into your life because you're feeling the benefits. And I think that's the way to crack this long term. Yeah.
Thank you. Should an executive over 40 consider taking other forms of making their body better, in the sense like taking Mounjaro injections or taking, I don't know, certain supplements that can make them lose the weight faster as well? Or do you recommend just like a gradual approach of kind of exercise and gradual diet improvements?
I always go with the latter. I see no reason to try and undo, like I said, the adaptation that's happened from the food and the training. By changing that and improving the lifestyle in the way that you want, you can get the result that you want. And I have 65-year-olds coming from injury, no activity, to being in absolutely incredible shape, even in their 70s. I trained a CEO in his 70s, and he's in phenomenal condition for that age without any pills or, yeah, anything like that.
Thank you. How can an executive over 40 that may be afraid of injuring his knees, how can he exercise without injuring anything?
Yeah, and this is a huge fear, because everyone's had a niggle in their knee or in their back. Knowing how to navigate your body and giving it what it needs at the time it needs it is how to navigate through any injury. So it doesn't matter where the pain is at all. It's the same approach, and it's about training smart rather than pushing through just because it says it or because you're doing it in that class. If you need to restrict the range of motion to stay pain-free, and ideally you should be training at about a 2 out of 10 pain and below if you are injured, and you need to restrict the range of motion or change the movement slightly until you can perform it. So there's no reason not to turn up. The plan doesn't stop. You just have to work with your body and give it what it needs. And that way, you'll be able to strengthen from there and introduce what you couldn't do before.
Thank you. Tell us what you mean by strength training. What are you talking about, lifting weights, or what exactly are you talking about?
Yeah, this could be lifting weights or calisthenics. That's something I specialize in, with your body weight. And strength training, you are really looking for increasing what you can do, either moving more load or doing more pull-ups. you're looking for that noticeable improvement. It's not about going to a room for half an hour and jumping up and down and sweating, although that's very good for your cardio and conditioning. And I do love that side of training as well. It's really about getting good at moving and moving well. And this will strengthen your tendons, your joints, your ligaments, also your nervous system. And it's using your creatine phosphate system, which is used in sprinting. It's one of your energy systems. And by doing that, you are strengthening your whole connection to your body. So you need to do compound movements like overhead press, push-ups, pull-ups, the big movements that aren't isolating one joint. They're using multiple joints at one time. If you can strengthen those, you will have a very effective routine.
Thank you. How can someone avoid getting droopy skin and, bingo wings?
Bingo wings. Yes. So ideally, the bingo wings are made out of muscle instead. Not everyone wants to get super jacked, and that's completely fair enough. If you can stay healthy and lean, your skin will stay tight. And also having the right nutrients going into your body, then you've got collagen, which we actually lose more when we're getting older. So you can supplement with collagen. That can really help. Staying lean is a good way to keep the skin tighter to the muscles. So you'll gain vascularity and then build muscle with that. So it's really a case of building the muscle, fueling well, and staying lean.
Thank you. Yeah. What would you say do those entrepreneurs that, let's say, lose a large amount of weight? Why do they tend to get droopy skin? What did they do wrong?
That's not something you can control. It's the fat gain in the first place has stretched the skin. Yeah. So there isn't a type of exercise you can do to vacuum that to your arm, let's say. So it is a case of trying to, some people need surgery if it's really, really droopy, okay? But over time, the skin can pull tighter. It will naturally get tighter. But yeah, those are the two options.
Thank you. Tell us about what some of your case study entrepreneurs that you worked with, what kind of results did they manage to get in terms of their weight and how much better they felt and how much more productive they managed to get in the boardroom as well as a result of working with you?
Yeah, so my recent client I'm working with, Sean, he's now 5 months in. He's gone from 30% body fat. Now he's looking at near 15%. And that's in 5 to 6 months, which is an incredible result. And it takes that long for that much of a dramatic effect. He's saying he's felt the best he ever has. And he's in his 40s now. He's saying he feels better than when he was 30. And he's loving it. He's also saying it feels easier than he thought. He's done things that are harder, that got less results before. So this is what I'm talking about with having a structure that's sustainable for that period of time. It really, we can get long-term progress with that and get him to where he wants. So yeah, he's gained strength through that time as well. He's much stronger, but he's also got the structure and he's finally aligned to what he knew he could achieve. Because executives, they are very disciplined people at work. You have the ability to get the body as well. And that feels really good for them, I think, in terms of the transformation side, finally seeing themselves how they actually operate.
Thank you. So tell us, what did you put in place to help Sean get from 30% body fat to 15% body fat?
Sure. So we start with assessments and analysis, and that includes movement, sometimes blood testing, and knowing what's going on with the doctor as well. And then we can work from there, really setting the goal that they want to get after that they haven't been able to sustain before, or they've had a decade away from training. Then what I do is I design the program using the Release Your Prime system. And this is something I can tailor to the individual, making sure that it fits into their routine. And also looking at the whole 6 months, what's going to happen over that time that we need to handle now on day one. That way, if he's flying away, which he has done 4 or 5 times, we know what we're doing for those weeks. We could time a deload for that time. We could give him a different target for steps or change the training plan to hotel rooms. There's always a way to keep it going in the way that we need it. And then I'm serving him throughout. So I'm speaking to him almost daily, checking in with him, making sure he's moving well, doing live sessions with him once a week to ensure that he's getting the most out of his training plan. And I'm really involved in the whole process. And I take on every client like a project. And then we're just making sure that he's changing things in terms of nutrition, in terms of his habits, to keep getting that result.
Thank you. Tell us about what kind of adaptability should entrepreneurs put in place when they are traveling around, especially for people that, let's say, travel every week. What kind of things do they need to be mindful of when it comes to their variations in their diet and the hotel amenities that might be available to them so they can continue the exercise in the way that you had planned?
Sure. So this, I believe, is one of the hardest nutritional management problems that there is. So not only are these people really busy, they're also in a location like an airport, and you can have a look around an airport. It's quite hard to find a good meal, and it's really knowing it really is. And it's about knowing, right, what's the best choice I can make here, and using that lens again to look around, how can I get the protein on the plate, and having a meal framework for that. So I also give out specific restaurant guidelines for the main chains with how you can still hit your targets there. So you can almost gamify it in that way. And then knowing if you need a hotel workout or choosing a gym nearby, already knowing that there's something nearby and planning that beforehand will mean that you can get there and you know straight away, there's no negotiating. I'm straight in. That's the gym I'm going to. Again, huge barrier out the way. It's going to make it way more sustainable.
Thank you. I happen to have a scale that measures your body fat. Is that what you use as well to help entrepreneurs to measure their body fat?
So they're not the most accurate. I don't recommend going by that. I much prefer old school tape measure, especially for a man, if they measure just straight around their waist, around the belly button, and for women around their belly button and the hips. You can find this online, tape measure fat percentage. And then you have clear data that you did yourself that you can see the trajectory. If your waist is getting smaller, and just by seeing that getting smaller, you can be certain that way. Whereas with something like a scale, it can fluctuate at the time of day. At the time of the day, I'm not sure if you found that. It can fluctuate if you're really hydrated. It really depends. So that's, yes, it's another form of data, so that helps towards it. But a tape measure, photos, they all help. And also just how your clothes fit. That's one of the best ones as well.
Thank you. Tell us about other case studies of entrepreneurs you've worked with and the results that they've had in creating their dream body.
Sure. So another case study, Carlo, he's 64 and he's a CEO. He's traveling very regularly. He might be one of the most disciplined men I know. He's got a family as well. So he's managing everything you can. And he's come from a bicep tear, full tear, off the bone operation. And now he's doing muscle ups, dips with 40 kilos. So an exercise that I used to struggle with, my own body weight. He's doing that. And he's also 6'4". So that is a phenomenal strength improvement. And he's been so consistent. And to see that change from injury, we had to scale everything right back to basic gym exercises and start to introduce the more complex things as we went on. So it's really been this sort of progress, not just in body composition. Of course, his body has come back, But this has really been about rebuilding after injury and getting his strength and structure back.
Thank you. Do you find that for most entrepreneurs, it's a case of kind of starting them really small, like, for example, with really light weights? Or is it that you have like a standard program that most entrepreneurs can cope with to kind of get themselves into shape?
Sure. So I don't believe in starting light necessarily. It needs to be a challenge, enough challenge to make it change the next week. So we want to see an increase in the strength. We want to see the fat percentage drop down if that's part of their goals. So it can't be easy. However, we don't want to be maximal all the time. Joints are crumbling and then the strength can't build. And you may also burn out like that. Training can either be a stress reliever or a stressor where you're feeling more fatigued, or it can give you energy. So it's important that we have it calibrated right for that person. And that really depends on their demands that they're going through at that time. The best way to manage this, and this is what elite athletes do as well, is use RPE, which is your rate of perceived exertion. How hard out of 10 are you pushing your exercises? Ideally, it's around an 8. And a lot of people that get into a new program, straight away, it's a 12 out of 10 effort. Everything's super tough. The first two workouts go great. Then 2 weeks in, you may get a niggle. That then puts you off. You're out of structure again. So if you use an 8 out of 10 intensity, that's how heavy you should be lifting, which the weight will change depending on how you feel that day. I know that was a long answer. I hope that makes sense.
Yes. Tell us about the most ideal time for someone to exercise. The reason I ask you this is that I remember many years ago when I used to exercise in the morning at 5 a.m. and I was like really pumped for the rest of the day. Now, I also tried exercising in the evening and after a very tiring day, and it also worked because I was already super tired, but I felt super energized after that. And but somehow, because I had like a long walk and so on, I got myself tired again, and I kind of, you know, got the super bunny energy kind of, you know, wore off by the time I reached home. But I'm thinking that for most entrepreneurs, if they want to exercise in the evening, perhaps it wouldn't be so good for sleeping because you're like, oh my God, I'm so pumped. I want to.
So that's the problem I have. If I train late at night, I have personal experience with that. I am wired. It feels like I've had 3 coffees. I'm super pumped, like you said. I'm like raring to go. And my nervous system is in fight mode. So that if I come back from the gym and I need to go straight to bed, it's not happening. So I don't recommend training even 5 hours before you sleep. If it's the only option, though, that's when it has to happen. And your body over time will learn. For a lot of people, they have to train, a lot of executives, they have to train early on. That might, again, be the only option, is to really get on top of the sleeping habits to ensure the recovery is there, because we don't want to tap into the sleeping window. We need to maintain that quality so that their brain can keep working well. And then morning may be the best option. If you have influence over your day, and you can change things around, then having a meal in the system will mean that you have energy and you will feel significantly stronger from that. So I recommend 11 or 2 p.m., somewhere around that.
Are you saying that people should be exercising after having already eaten?
Yes. Yeah, because you have carbohydrates in the system, so usable energy, and that's going to give you more power in your sessions, meaning you can lift more, you can train harder. You're also protecting your muscles, so your muscles aren't breaking down during that session. If we have carbs in the system, all of those things are going on. If we don't, you might be tapping into your fat stores. However, your lifts may not be as high quality. Your energy might not be in as good a place. And you can also get muscle breakdown during that. So we want to protect that period of time where you are training. That's the most important time, really, to have carbs in the system. And if you've got protein there, you're also laying down muscle tissue. So
for those people that want to train in the morning, what time frame should there be between meals and exercise?
Sure. So if you're training first thing in the morning, you'll be using the fuel from your meal the night before. That's also fine. you've got the fuel there. That's really important that the last meal is what your body needs. Again, good amount of carbohydrates. You have some protein there. And then overnight, that's going to settle around your system. You're also going to turn up. I don't recommend eating much if you are training first thing in the morning. Fasted is fine because of that.
Thank you. For those people that want to have an amazing body, what else should they know? And what kind of things did you put in place, for example, for the entrepreneurs you're working with that have kept them in the program for a long time? Because, for example, for me, I tend to be like a super bunny for a while. And I get really, really excited about the decision to kind of exercise. And then my energy and my enthusiasm wears off after a while. And then what I find is I have this all or nothing kind of attitude where, let's say if I promise to exercise every day, and one day I can't because I had a meeting and I didn't go to the gym at 7 like I said I would, then I just feel like a failure and I stop completely.
Okay. Yeah, this is very, very common for high performance and entrepreneurs, the all or nothing mindset. That's because you're disciplined. That's why you have that. So when you're in, you're all in, you want it to happen. You want to see that everything is getting ticked off. Quite often, I'm teaching that it doesn't have to be all or nothing. The workout can shift. Sometimes you might need to, the discipline might be to take the rest as well. So let's say work built up, big meetings, you had a really busy first 2 days of the week, you may feel fatigue. And at that point, turning up to the gym fully fatigued when you need rest doesn't make sense. The discipline comes in the rest for people who really want to turn up all the time. So I see there's two types. Either they're like a dog that wants to train and they need to be pulled back slightly. And on the other end, some people need a push and they need motivating, just get in the gym and get it done. So it's really knowing which one you are. If you're an entrepreneur, executive, and you've trained most of your life, I expect you're more the person who wants to just keep going no matter what. If you're someone who's had a long break, you might need a push and actually not judge it by how you're feeling, but try and get that consistency best you can. But it's really about the long-term game.
Thank you. What would you say motivates the entrepreneurs you work with to keep going for 6 months, for example? What doesn't get them discouraged? What would you say? Because let's say if I was to be, I don't know, 200 kilos or anyway, 120 kilos or whatever, and if I'm starting to look at my in the mirror and then my wife is like disapproving of me, you know, like I'm thinking that I would be like ashamed as well to kind of go to the gym because I would be feeling so guilty and ashamed and angry and saddened, like so many negative emotions, and perhaps I don't even have a fitness outfit that looks good on me because like everything is bulging everywhere and in all sorts of places that, you know, should look nice. So like, how do you get over that shame, the guilt, and to kind of the and get the encouragement and the motivation and the determination to keep going, despite the fact that I think the very first step is the hardest because it's like you have to face yourself in the mirror and then like to be courageous enough to go to the gym, despite the fact that you may feel like you could be laughed at.
Yeah. And those are all things that go through your head, right? You have to realize that the gym is your place. If I see someone in the gym, no matter their weight, that the bigger they are, the more I respect it. So that could totally flip the script for someone that's trained for a long time. And then they really get that everyone's in there to improve. Everyone was out of shape at one point. You will get more respect for being in there, training hard, following a plan than someone who's in shape. So actually it will be the opposite if you're turning up well. And I think in terms of the mental side, when you look in the mirror, that's motivation, not something to pick yourself apart over. So that should be like, yes, I'm going to go to the gym. This is what I'm sorting out. I'm going to feel good for it. And then also hiring professional help, I think, can help a lot in terms of framing that around mindset, self-concept, and the self-concept needs to get stronger as you're changing your body so that you maintain it. Otherwise, you may get pulled back to your old habits, to your old ways, or how you see yourself.
Thank you. How do you change this self-concept? Because I think if someone has been really chubby for 20 years and then they lose the weight, sometimes their self-concept hasn't adapted to this new look, and they might still feel like they are actually Mr. Chubby inside.
Definitely. And the same for people that started skinny and they've put on the muscle, they may still view themselves as the skinny person. I think with weight loss especially, it really happens. And it's 60% don't maintain the weight that they lost. They don't keep it off. So this is a major issue, and it's part of the mental toolkit that I offer to my clients. We sit down and we try and figure out what are the negative self-talk words going in, or sentences. Usually there's something that has been said by someone as a kid, or the way that they've viewed themselves for so long, and they've been telling themselves those things. So we try to strengthen the self-concept in terms of your ideal shape that you want to be in, and being able to see it. And if you can strengthen this self-perception, let's say, for example, an elite CrossFit athlete, they are saying for 5 years before they become that, I am going to be an elite CrossFit athlete. So it's about keeping the mindset and almost arriving at your goal before it happens mentally. If you can do that, you're getting pulled towards it rather than seeing it as a grind. Yeah.
Thank you. Do you have like a blueprint for entrepreneurs to follow so they can make their wives fall in love with their body again? Like, is there anything you follow as a standard for everybody, like in terms of steps or pillars for their new body?
Like outputs that would help them get their body to the point their wife's all over them. Yeah. So if you focus on the outputs, strength train 3 times a week, steps over 5,000. If you're getting over 8,000, that's amazing. And then nutrition, eat real food, and sleep and stress management, also massive. So we need to stay on top of the stress management, and that should then play into the business side, improve the relationships as well, and time management around that to make sure it all works. If you can do those things, you will look very good, very fast.
Thank you. Tell us where entrepreneurs can connect with you.
Sure. So I'm on LinkedIn, Harry Baldwin, also on Instagram. And you can go to the website, which is releaseyourprime.com, if you'd like to apply to work with me.
Thank you.
Follow me for more interviews with world's most innovative health change makers to live your healthiest life ever.